two birds sit in the same tree. One frantically hops from branch to branch, tasting fruits both sweet and bitter, never satisfied. The other rests calmly at the top, simply watching. This 3,000-year-old image from India's Upanishads captures our modern crisis perfectly. Businesses chasing quarterly returns have severed their connections to humanity and nature, leaving behind environmental collapse, social fracture, and institutional distrust. What if the solution to our most pressing challenges, climate change, inequality, workplace burnout, lies not in the latest management framework, but in reconnecting with something far older and more fundamental? Most leadership models obsess over actions and capabilities, what leaders should do, what skills they should possess. Yet these approaches have failed spectacularly. Being-centered leadership asks a radically different question. Who are you at your core? Being, the fundamental essence of existence, transcends culture, religion, and philosophy. It's not mystical nonsense, but practical wisdom. Damaging the larger system that sustains your business ultimately damages you. The evidence is striking. Harvard researchers tracked 180 companies over 18 years. Those practicing sustainability, defined by long-term thinking, stakeholder engagement, and purpose-driven compensation, dramatically outperform their peers. A dollar invested in sustainable firms in 1993 grew to $22.60 by 2010, versus just $15.40 for conventional companies. That's 47% better returns simply by recognizing that business exists within interconnected systems. Economy depends on humanity, humanity depends on nature, and everything ultimately derives from being itself. The path from anxious lower bird to serene higher bird follows four stages. Recognition means seeing business within its larger context, not just profit and loss, but four kinds of capital: material, goods, infrastructure, finances, human and social, skills, relationships, culture, natural, ecosystems, clean water, biodiversity, and being capital, integrity, trust, ethics. Since the Industrial Revolution, we've obsessively grown material capital while decimating the other three. The 21st century's urgent task is restoring balance. Experience makes this recognition tangible. Consider the intense pressure of startup life, where founders' beliefs shift dramatically under stress. During the dot-com bubble, many pursued trendy technology solutions despite their real strengths lying elsewhere. Insecurity masquerading as strategy. Yet crisis also creates opportunity. One founder discovered that obsessive planning about financial runway provided only temporary comfort, while connecting to deeper purpose created being memory, specific pathways to access heightened consciousness during pressure. Business becomes not just a vehicle for profit, but a field for personal transformation. The third stage requires finding steady ground. Think of a talented MBA student who committed suicide after failing to land a prestigious job like his peers. He measured self-worth through comparison, like the lower bird finding each sweet fruit eventually sours. Even spectacular corporate success, defined through comparison, creates unsustainable pressure. When PepsiCo's CEO emphasized both profits and purpose, investors grew restive as the stock lagged Coca-Cola's. A strategic review resulted in 8,700 layoffs, and the share price immediately jumped more than it had in 5 years. The alternative? Anchor in joy rather than pleasure. Pleasure is immediate and fleeting. Joy represents sustained delight encompassing present and future. Southwest Airlines exemplifies this through genuine employee recognition and a culture of fun, achieving 39 consecutive profitable years in an industry notorious for bankruptcy. The equation for real success sums the long-term well-being of all stakeholders across material, hedonistic, natural, and universal dimensions. Companies emphasizing stakeholder well-being, what researchers call firms of endearment, delivered 10 times greater returns than the S&P 500 over 15 years. Leading by example means demonstrating commitment to all stakeholders, not just investors. After nearly dying from medical complications, one hotel CEO found new meaning in the equation, despair equals suffering minus meaning. Recognizing that suffering is constant while meaning is individual, he created an emotional boot camp, openly sharing his struggles with employees. This humanistic approach shines during crisis. When Tylenol bottles were poisoned in 1982, Johnson & Johnson CEO immediately pulled 32 million bottles from shelves at a $100 million cost and appeared on national television with complete transparency. Tylenol recaptured its 35% market share within a year. Stewardship offers another path, through nature rather than humanity. Interface's founder transformed from conventional CEO to America's greenest CEO after reading about businesses' environmental impacts, which he described as a spear driven straight into my heart. Feeling convicted as a plunderer of the earth, he committed Interface to zero environmental impact by 2020, ultimately cutting $400 million in waste while doubling profits. Fashion designer Eileen Fisher extended this commitment throughout her operations: solar-powered warehouses, nature-focused headquarters, support for wind farms, because stewardship connected directly to her core purpose, enabling well-being that nourishes mind, body, and spirit. The highest integration combines all approaches, materialist, humanist, and steward, within a single leader. Azim Premji exemplifies this sage leadership. Taking over his father's small vegetable oil company at 21, he transformed it into a global IT services giant with 140,000 employees and $7 billion in revenue. Despite becoming India's third richest person worth $13 billion, he stays in ordinary hotels, wears locally made clothes, and drives modest cars. His company refuses both to accept or give bribes despite rampant corruption. His greatest distinction? Contributing $4.4 billion to promote universal education in rural India, Asia's most generous philanthropist. This integration creates what researchers call shareable prosperity, improving stakeholder well-being from the beginning rather than extracting wealth first and redistributing later. It contrasts sharply with rent-seeking, where wealth is acquired by grabbing a larger share of existing value rather than creating new value. B corporations practicing this approach show 28% higher worker productivity and 55% stronger customer retention compared to traditional companies, proving that reconnecting business to its larger context isn't idealistic, it's practical. Real business freedom means liberation from self-imposed constraints, not just excessive material desires, but short-term thinking, fear-based decisions, and narrow success definitions. The Upanishads teach, "He who sees himself in all beings and all beings in his own self loses all fear and embraces the world." This isn't poetry, it's a practical framework. When you recognize fundamental interconnectedness, you stop anxiously hopping between branches seeking sweeter fruits and gain the perspective to see the entire ecosystem. Companies embracing being-centered leadership become regenerative forces that heal rather than harm, unite rather than divide. They redefine success as contribution rather than extraction. The journey demands persistent effort, guarding against quarterly earnings pressure, competitor benchmarking, and materialistic metrics. Yet organizations on this path consistently outperform peers across financial returns, employee engagement, customer loyalty, and social impact. The two birds still sit in the same tree, but now we understand they're not separate beings, they're two aspects of ourselves. The lower bird's frantic search and the higher bird's serene observation both have their place. The question isn't which bird to be, but how to integrate both, bringing the higher bird's wisdom into the lower bird's daily actions. In reconnecting what modern capitalism has disconnected, business can fulfill its highest potential as a force for transformation. The tree that sustains us all depends on leaders willing to make this journey, from branch to branch to trunk to sky.